Good morning. Today's Daf and Tanis is your Gimel. We're on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are starting about three lines down. Hechi Avde. We are now in the middle of the Taneos, the Tanis Sibur, the communal fast days that are taken upon ourselves as a result of the fact that there's no rain. So rain now has been expected to come sometime since Sukkot. Since Sukkot now, it's not been raining. I'm just not describing this year. I'm describing just in general. And then already by mid Cheshvan, more accurately the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, so it has not rain has not come down. So what do we do? So as a result of that, so we start with the fasting. So already on the previous Mishnah, that is the Mishnah back on Daf Yud. So we talked about how the first wave of fasting is done by Yechidim, it's done by the rabbis. The rabbis are going to be taking on individual fasts, not a communal fast, but they're going to do so as a way of supplication. Okay, if that does not take, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not responsive to that, so then what we do is communal fast days, Tanit Sibur. Tanit Sibur that are done in three rounds. So the first round is going to be three fast days, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Same with the second round, also going to be 3 days, Monday, Thursday, Monday. And then the third round, which is going to be seven Monday, Thursday, Mondays. So it's going to be three, three, and seven, obviously totaling to 13. Right, I'm sure it's of no coincidence that they're looking at the number 13 also in connection to Rachamim. The Yugim Omidosh Arachamim, whatever the case is, so that is the rounds. As the rounds progress, they intensify, meaning obviously the later we are in the calendar and the more that we see that rain isn't coming, so then the more the we go up higher in the DEFCON. And remember, I never remember, higher or lower, whatever. It gets more serious, it gets more drastic. And so therefore the fasts themselves intensify. And over the course of the Mishnayos, yesterday, and I will take that back, and I will go back to, I don't take it back. I'm sticking with yesterday. So yesterday on Yud Beis Amud Beis, so we saw the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah took us through the communal fast days of rounds numbers 2 and 3, right? The second, third, and then the seven. So that was what we described in the Mishnah yesterday, alongside the intensification of the fast days, also that come along with the round number 2 and round number 3 of the fast days. Good. What happens on these fast days? So that's what we described yesterday. So a description of what we described yesterday is that there is going to be auditing. When I say auditing, we're not talking about counting over here. We're talking about people's behaviors, interactions, of errors that are done by people. So that was what the Gemara describes as Iyun. And then on top of that, there's also going to be Kriyas HaTorah. And on top of that, there's also going to be Tefillah. Okay, and the breakdown of the day, half the day is dedicated to auditing. Okay, it's a pretty long audit. Then followed by the next half of the day broken up into halves. So that means to say that of the second half of the day, the second half of the day, okay, the Gemara calls it a quarter, but right, that's Gemara's looking at it from a total day standpoint. So that's going to be dedicated to Kriyas HaTorah, and then the second half of the second half of the day, so is going to be for Tefillah. I hope that was clear. Anyway, so that is what the Gemara is about to inform us. Okay, so Hechi Avdei. So here we are in the Gemara in Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara now wants to know, so what exactly is going to be the Seder Hayom? So Amar Abai Mitzafra Ad Palgad Yuma Me'ayninan B'mila Demasa. Okay, so good. So what we just described, that's going to be your auditing. We're going to be Me'ayin, investigate and see what people are doing. And I know it's not, it's a little bit more difficult for us to relay with. We really pride ourselves on our privacy, and that's true. But on the other hand, however, if it's not raining, there are some communal issues that need to be addressed. And so we go back into a time where we were Maris there, Kliyos our ravens, Elazar. So we're responsible for one another. We have to make sure that everyone is on board. And okay, yeah, it should be the way it's done now. But I understand it's a little bit of our thinking gets warped and distorted here. Okay, anyway. So Mikan ve'elach Riva Dioma Karina B'Sefra u've'aftarasa. Now, in terms of the second half of the day, so you're going to break that up into halves. So, and then that first part of the afternoon is going to be Kriyas HaTorah Naftorah. I know it sounds like a lot of time dedicated to Kriyas HaTorah Naftorah, right? What does it take in our mincha? It takes a whopping 5 minutes, right? Maybe. So, Mikan ve'elech bin rachme. And then, for the second half of the afternoon, so that's when we daven. Shenemar v'yikum olam alam dam v'yikru b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeihem. Revias ayam v'revias mizvadim u'mashachivim l'Hashem Elokeihem. Good. So it is a pasuk in Nehemiah on Perek Tes that describes exactly this. In other words, that of half the day, now it doesn't say which half, and the Gemara is going to observe that in just a moment, but of half the day, so it's split. Half of it is for Kriyas HaTorah, and the other half is for being Mishtachvel Hashem, meaning davening. Okay, and what was going on over there in Nehemiah? So what was going on is that the people needed significant correction. Back then, in Nehemiah, so the predominant error of the day was intermarriage, understandably. But what happened was is that those who decided to go back to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra and together with Nehemiah, so they weren't the most religious, and they all intermarried, and so they brought their non-Jewish wives with them. Okay, so significant problem, and that's what Ezra and Nehemiah were combating at that point in time. Anyway, you look up the psukim and see them in context, and that's basically what you're going to find. Okay, anyway, Epochanam. So on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, so look. So we know that of half the day, so it's divided between Kriyas HaTorah and Tefillah. That part we got. However, in the Pasuk in Nehemiah that we just quoted, it didn't say which half. So the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe flip it around. Maybe the morning should be Kriyas HaTorah Tefillah, and the afternoon should be Iyun. That should be the auditing, the communal auditing. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadacha. No, Gemara says, no, that's not open for discussion. Dechsiv. Because here we have another pasuk. This is in Sefer Ezra, and the pasuk Ve'ilai Yisfu Kol Cheder B'Divrei Elokei Yisrael Al Ma'al HaGola. Right, the mistake of the exile. So Uksiv U'Ve'Minchas Erev Kamti Mitani Sai Ve'Efrasa Kapai El Hashem. Ah, so here in Ezra, so we're given one detail, an important one, and that is that in the afternoon. So, Ephrasa Kapai. Ephrasa Kapai is a reference to davening. Okay, fine. So the davening's in the afternoon. Okay, so now when I take the Pasuk in Ezra, put it together with the Pasuk in Nehemiah, so now we get the complete picture, which is that of the half the day is auditing, half the day is Kriyas HaTorah Tefillah, and that Pasuk in Ezra tells us that the Kriyas HaTorah Tefillah is done in the afternoon, not the morning. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of a description of what is happening on one of these fast days. And mind you, by the way, it's a lot, meaning that for rounds 1 and 2, you're doing this for 3 days. And then for round 3, you're doing this for 7 days. So admittedly, it is a lot. But at the same time, however, desperation is kicking in because it's not raining. And it's not raining because Akash Baruch Hu is unhappy. So obviously, it requires a diagnostics in terms of what's going on. Okay. We are in Yigim Amud Aleph. We are 4 lines down from the top of the Amud Amar Rafram Baprapa Amar Rav Chisda. For this first half of today's daf, we're going to be discussing bathing. Okay, so as we learned back in the Mishnah, so on these public fast days, so in the first round, so you're allowed to bathe, right? That was the previous Mishnah. That was the Mishnah Daf Yud. But then as we intensify, so bathing now comes in as one of the prohibitions. Look back at the mission, yesterday's daf. Avru Eilu V'lo Nanu Bezdin Gozrin Gimel Taniyas Acheros Alat Sibur. So this is now round 2. Ochlin V'shos Mi Bo'od Yom. So already the fast is starting the night prior. Okay, so this is now going to be a 25-hour fast. And V'asur M'mlachu Uvi Rechitza V'sichom V'nil Asasando V'tashman Shemita. All the Inuyim are in force, which of course including that is going to be bathing. Okay. Let's start with our Gemara. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda Koshu Mishum Avel Kigon Tisha B'Av V'Avel Aser Bein B'Cham and Bein Mitzonin. Okay, so if the issue is Avelos, now included in Avelos is Tisha B'Av. Now Tisha B'Av is a little bit confusing, admittedly, because Tisha B'Av is a fast day, but it's also a Yom Avel. It's a morning day, so it really has two personalities. It has two identities. Right now, the Gemara is focusing on the fact that it is a day of mourning. Okay, so right now, we're calling it a mourning day, even though it also is a fast day as well. Okay, so I acknowledge that it's a little bit confusing, but, and obviously goes without saying, an Avel, somebody who lost one of his 7 relatives, is obviously in Avelis, that is a mourner, right? That's the mourner classic. So the, so they're not allowed to bathe, neither in hot water, not even in cold water. However, kol shum mishum tanu kegon tanu sibor However, if the issue is Tanog, that you're not allowed to have pleasures on that day, meaning like the Inuyim, for example, so under those circumstances, so you can't bathe, but only the prohibition is only for hot water, not for cold water, meaning you could bathe in cold water. Okay, so this is the statement of Rav Chista, in that we're going to make a difference between Avelus and Tanog. So when the issue is Avelus, so no bathing whatsoever, not hot, not cold. When the issue is Tanug, so then the only thing prohibited is bathing in hot water, not cold water. So Amar Avida Barav and Afanami Tanina. So what the Gemara now is going to do is litigate this statement of Rav Chista, and it's going to take a little bit of time. So first we're going to start off with what seems to be a proof. V'no'alin es ha-mechatz, because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about, now our Mishnah is talking about Tanit Tzibor. It's not Avelus. It's only an issue of Tanug. And what do we learn in our Mishnah? They close the bathhouses. Now, the bathhouses, what are they making? They're making hot water in the bathhouses. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So, Amar le Abai v'ibet son en aser, sochenes naharis mi bayilei. So, Abai says, look, the proof is good, but it's not great. Meaning, what do you want the Mishnah to write? Meaning, let's assume that you can't bathe a period. Okay, again, it's not right, but let's just assume that. So, what do you want the Mishnah to write? You want the Mishnah to write that we're going to close off the rivers? You can't close the river. They're public places. So, mibayle lemisnei? So, just because the Mishnah says that I close the bathhouses, like there was really no alternative for what the Mishnah should have written. So, Amar Shisha Bereid Ravidi, Abba Hachi Kakashile, Michti, Tanan Asaburachitza. So the Gemara says no. The critical reading of the Mishnah is actually good. because consider, in the Mishnah, it says asur b'rechitza, right? You're not allowed to bathe. All right, so the Mishnah already established that when I'm in my second round of the fast days, of these public fast days, so you're not allowed to bathe. So once the Mishnah said that, so no one's a mechatz aslamali. So the fact that we close the bathhouses, isn't that superfluous? Meaning once there is a standing prohibition of not bathing, so why would the Mishnah have to say you have to close the bathhouses? It's redundant. Because the Mishnah wanted to make a point, and that is that the only thing that's going to be prohibited is bathing in hot water. Good. So from our Mishnah now, it sounds like we are supporting Rav Chista based on what seems to be the redundancy of the Mishnah. Next point of the Gemara. Let's take a look at the following Braisa. This Braisa certainly is going to seem to support Rav Chista as well. Again, just to reset, according to Rav Chista, if it's an Avelus issue, no bathing whatsoever, not hot nor cold. If it's a Tanug issue, so then you can't bathe in hot, but you can bathe in cold. The Gemara now is going to bring the following Braisa to support Rav Chista. So when it comes to toveling, so you could tovel on Tisha B'Av, on Yom HaKippurim. Now it happens to be that we're not going to paskin this way, but that doesn't matter. Right now we're learning a Braisa. And the Gemara now is going to critically read the Braisa, Bimai. Now we're talking about toveling in the mikvah. So Ilema Bechamin, Tvila Bechamin, Mi'ika, Shuavim Ninu. So the Gemara says, well, you know, your mikvahs can't be hot. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange because I think every mikvah in the world is a hot mikvah. Okay, natural springs, no. But basically every mikvah is hot, it's heated up. Okay, so I know the Gemara here sounds a little bit confusing based on the fact that all of our mikvahs are actually heated. The Gemara, however, is assuming, okay, and how to get from the Gemara to where we are now, I'm not going to address that at this point in time, but right now the Gemara is assuming that there can't be such a thing as a hot mikvah. Why? Because the Gemara says it's shuvim. What does that mean? It means that in order for the water to be heated, it has to be put in some sort of a container, all right, a pot or something along those lines, and then it's going to be put under fire in order to be heated. It's then going to be dropped back in the mikvah. That's what's called Maim Shuvim. That's drawn water, meaning mikvah water has to be naturally collected rainwater and cannot go into a kli, even if it's subsequently returned into the pit. It's not going to be kosher water for the mikvah. So it can't have hot water for the mikvah. So elalav b'tzonein. So and so therefore, when we're talking about toveling in the mikvah, so we're talking about cold water. By definition, by nature, we have to be talking about cold water. V'chai v'tfilos in. Now, if you have to tovel in the mikvah, okay, good. So there we have a mitzvah consideration. So you can tovel in the mikvah. So what we just put together now is that the mikvah by definition has to be cold water. And on top of that, only when there's a mitzvah consideration can you tovel in the mikvah. That means, in a shachrin alo, for everybody else, you cannot tovel in the mikvah. Let me say it correctly. For everybody else, you can't bathe. Oh, okay, fine. Even in cold water. Okay, so as you put it together, all these assumptions, so now we've supported Rav Chista, meaning that on Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is an Avelus issue, so you're not allowed to bathe, not even in cold water. So I'm Rav Chana Bar Ketina lo nitzuch ela chametzveria. So the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, look, you made a lot of assumptions, and maybe you're not right about some of your assumptions. Maybe the mikvah is hot. Didn't we say that you can't have a hot mikvah? Yeah, you can't have a hot mikvah if you make the mikvah hot. But what if the mikvah is naturally hot, i.e., the hot springs of Tveria? So that's how we can change one of the assumptions, and then the proof basically falls away. So the Gemara says, really? So we're talking about the hot springs of Tveria. Read on in the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Chanin is going to Kohanim. Kedaihu beis alokin la'abid alav tefila pa'machas b'shana. Statement to Rabbi Chanina is, look, I disagree. I think you should be closing the mikvahs down on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. Okay, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash should basically, for one day of the year, force us to close the mikvahs. Okay, Tisha B'Av is a really serious day. I mean, everyone agrees to that. It's just that according to Rabbi Chanina, it's so serious that yes, you should even be closing the mikvah down, even though it's going to mean that for one day of the year, so people who need to go to the mikvah will not be able to go to the mikvah. Now, v'iyamar b'tzani motar. Now consider, because right now we're at the stage of arguing that the only prohibition is hot water, but cold water would be motar. So the Gemara says, so yuchas b'tzonein. So I don't understand. Why don't I keep the mikvahs open and allow people to tovel in cold water, if in fact you're right? So amar papa b'asur d'lo shchiach sonein. So Rav Papa says, well, maybe he's talking about a place where there's no cold water. Okay. I understand that's a forced response. That's a forced answer. It sounds like a docha. But you could say that, as long as you could say that. So maybe our defense stance. Okay. So at this point in time, so Rav Chista says that if it's an Avelus issue, so you can't bathe, period, not in hot water, not in cold water. If it's a Tanug issue, so the prohibition is only for hot water, not for cold water. At this juncture, what we're trying to do is defend the statement of Rav Chista. We try to with a brisa regarding tefillah. The Gemara says not necessarily. Tashma. So when they say that in these days it's asur b'malacha, these days meaning the Tanit Sibur, right, the public fast days, and we're talking about round number two. So there is an isur malacha, but that's only during the day of Abba Laila Mutar. But you're allowed to do malacha on the night prior. Ukisha amru asur b'nila sasanda lo amru ala b'ir. And when they say that wearing shoes is going to be asur, so that's only in the city of Abba Derech Mutar. But if you're traveling, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. Ha-keita yosel ha-derech noel nechtas le'er cholaitz. And then, Bryce kind of like spells it out. Here's what you're going to have to do. So while traveling, so it's, you know, literally you're walking from place to place. So you put leather shoes on so that you could actually get from place to place. That's not a tanug issue. That's just functional. But when you get into the city, you no longer need the leather shoes. And now it's Tisha B'Av, so you take them off. Ukishamru asa b'rechitza lo amru ela kol gufo. And now it's this part of the braisa that we're zooming in on. And that is that bathing. So when we say that bathing is asur, because on these public fast days, bathing is asur. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. In our second and obviously third round of Taneos. So bathing is going to be asur. So that's only your whole body. Avapanav yadav raglav motor. But when it comes to washing your hands, feet, and face, meaning if it's just a body part, so then it would be motor. And the same thing is true with somebody who is excommunicated. Same thing is going to be true with an avel. Okay. So, in this brisa, what we have seemingly is a really clear statement that for these public fast days, you're not allowed to bathe your whole body. You are allowed to bathe body parts. And also, the brisa said, the same thing is true for somebody who's an avel. Okay. Now, with that stated, so now the Gemara says, now it's time for analysis. So, my lava kulu. So over here, when the Braisa concludes and says that same thing is true with Avel, seemingly it's going on every point in the Braisa. The Braisa talked about three subject matters. It talked about Malacha, wearing shoes, and bathing. And the Braisa says, whatever we just said regarding Tanit Sibur is going to be true for an Avel. seemingly would be true about all three of those points, including bathing. Now, uva mayaskin in ilama bechamin. Now, are we talking about bathing with hot water? We can't be talking about bathing with hot water. How do I know that? Because pani of the yad of erglav mishari v'hamer of sheisha zavol also loshit etzba'o bechamin. You know, Rav Shesha says that an aval cannot put even his finger in hot water, meaning an aval cannot bathe in hot water, period. Not his whole body, not a body part. So we're working backwards, and it's like almost like a little bit of reverse engineering over here. So we know that by the aval, an aval cannot use hot water at all, not his whole body, not even a body part. Okay, that's what we know. I know it is interesting. It comes from a statement of Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha is an Amara. Right? Can someone not argue with him? So apparently, the Gemara is saying it b'shem Rav Sheshitz, but apparently this is something which is not negotiable. Meaning this is an accepted statement. Once we know that, so now we're going to work backwards. So now we know that the Braisa just taught us that whatever is true by Navel is also true for Tanit Sibur. Again, second round Tanit Sibur, but still it's true for Tanit Sibur. So in Tanit Sibur, again, there's no Avelis issue. It's just a Tanug issue. Okay, I know there's a lot of things to put together over here, and I know it gets a little bit complicated, but hopefully you're following. So now that means that for a Tanit Sibur, so it says Aser Berechitza, and making a distinction between your whole body and a body part, a whole body is Aser, body part is going to be Mutter. It can't be talking about hot water because we just equated it to an Avel, so we have to be talking about cold water. Therefore, right, if you're following the bowl over here, therefore, for a tanis, which is just a tanug issue, bathing with cold water is going to be aser. If all this is true, for analysis is correct, so then it disproves Rav Chista. Okay, that was a mouthful. So el alav bitzonein, so it must be talking about cold water, and if that's true, that disproves Rav Chista. So lo'olam bechamin. So the Gemara says, no, really, we're talking about hot water. Ude kakashalach v'chein atamotze b'menuda v'avel. So the Gemara says, okay, how could we be talking about hot water? Because the Braisa concluded by saying, and the same thing is true with aval. And again, we know that by an aval, you cannot bathe with hot water, period. Not your whole body, not a body part. So how could you say we're talking about hot water? So the Gemara says the comparison between Tanit Sibur and aval is Asha'ara Kai. It's going on everything else. Remember, there were three subject matters discussed in the Braisa. There was Malacha, there was wearing leather shoes, and then there was bathing. And then when the Braisa says, and the same thing is true with an Avel, it could be going on the two of the other subject matters. It could be going on Malacha, and it could be going on wearing leather shoes, but not necessarily going on bathing. Okay, you could say that. Once you say that, so then we haven't rejected Rav Chista. Tashma. Okay, again, another round of litigating Rav Chista. Tashma dam Rabbi Abba HaKohen Mishum Rabbi Yosef Kohen Maiso Meisu Banav Shel Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina v'Rachatz Betzon in Kol Shiva. So we have a Maisa where Rachmanus, the sons of Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, died, and he bathed in cold water, and that goes against Rav Chista, because Rav Chista says that if the issue is Avelos, so then there is not going to be a bathing period, not in hot water, not in cold water. So Hasam Kishetachvu Avelav Hava. So the Gemara says that case is exceptional. The case is where Rachmanus, he had an avelos followed immediately by another avelos. Detanya, when you have consecutive avelos, so there are certain leniencies. In other words, to be in a state of avelos for more than 7 days, in other words, it's consecutive avelos. So the Chachamim understand that that's going to be really onerous, and therefore certain leniencies are extended. We learned in a braisa, tachfu avelov zechazech b'tzaro, make a batar, So now at that point in time, in other words, you're going now a number of weeks where you have not at all cut your hair. So you could lighten your hair. You could do so with a razor. In other words, basically not a professional haircut, but you can, right, you're right, right, exactly. With a shinui, you can go ahead and you can cut your hair. Mechabes ksusa b'mayim. You can also launder your clothing, and you could do so, but only with water. I'm Rav Chista b'tar v'lo b'misparayim. Exactly the point we just made, is that even though we've just given a heter for an aval to cut his hair, but only with a razor, not with scissors, meaning with a shinui, and b'mayim v'lo b'neser v'lo b'chol, and as far as laundering clothing is concerned, so it's only with water and not using detergents. Okay. Adkan. Okay, that is the That is the end of round one of today's daf. Okay, so the daf really started. I mean, we went over the schedule of the day of these fast days in terms of dividing the day into half. First half of the day, auditing, seeing what the community, what's going on in the community, seeing what needs the correction, what needs any kind of adjustment. And then the second half of the day is going to be divided between Kriyas HaTorah and davening and tefillah. And then and then for the remainder of today, most of today's daf, Yigel Mom and Aleph. So the statement of Rav Chista says that if it's an aval issue, you can't bathe at all, not in cold water, not in hot water. If it is just an issue of tanug, like a public fast day, so then you can't bathe in hot water, but you can in fact bathe in cold water. Okay, that was the first half, and then remaining part of Amud Aleph of today's daf is just a question of whether we can either prove or disprove Rav Chista based on a series of braises that we just went through. Tosos over here writes Vila Bechama Miika. No, not that Tosos, although that Tosos happens to be really interesting. V'kol Shehu. Third Tosos on the Amud. V'kol Shehu Mishum Tanga V'chule V'achshav She'ein Tanisibra Bebavah Ela Tishabav. So nowadays we don't have a public fast day, meaning we don't have a fast day that arrives at the status of being a Tanit Sibur. Again, we accepted upon ourselves to fast on Asar B'Teves and some Gedalia and Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, but they don't take on the full status of a Tanit Sibur, of a public fast day. The only public fast day that we have is Tisha B'Av. Now, this hopefully sounds familiar because we said this on two consecutive days in the Daf, otherwise known as yesterday and the day before. On Yud Alf and Yud Beis, the Gemara quoted a statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that the only Tanit Sibur in Bavel is only Tisha B'Av Bavad, which means that all other fast days, even though we've accepted to fast, but they are not the status of Tanit Sibur, therefore writes Tosfos, so Ela Tisha B'Av Mutarin Afilu Bechamin. So you can take a hot shower on these fast days. Afilu Yizayim B'Tamuz V'Tzom Gedalia. Even if it's something like Shiva Sabatamas or Tzom Gedal, you could take a bath, a hot bath. Kach Pasach Reviyav Raviyol Aviv Aser Lerchotz Bechamim. Okay, not all the Rishonim are on board with this. Tosos notes, but Tosos's position is that one's allowed to do that in terms of the halacha. So see the Shulchan Aruch, see the Mishnah Berurah, and go ask your Rav. But Tosos's reasoning is. Based on the Gemara, it seems to be sound, but that doesn't mean that that's halacha. Just simply, we just went through a Tosos. Okay. Amar Rava. We're now on the very bottom of Yigel Mamad Aleph. Ava Mutter, Lirchotz, Bitzon, and Kol Shiva. An Ava can wash in cold water all 7 days. Okay. Now, it goes without saying that Rava is not in agreement with Rav Chista. Rav Chista says an Ava cannot bathe at all. So Rava disagrees. He says that an Ava can go ahead and bathe in cold water. So it's no different than meat and wine. We know that an aval is allowed to eat, and not only is an aval allowed to eat, but delicacies. Eating meat, drinking wine. So if an aval can go ahead and have those kinds of delicacies, so it stands to reason, this is Rava's argument, that they could bathe also in cold water as well. Meisvei, the Gemara says, I don't know if he's right. Consider the following. Ein habogeres. So you have a bogeris, that's now a woman who's older. Now, again, I say older, so I know we're talking about a girl who's 12 and a half. 12 and a half nowadays does not seem old. Okay, right, maturation has slowed down considerably in the last, number of hundred of years. I was just hearing a biography on Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. So he got married at the age of 14. And that's about 100 years ago. Okay. So whatever. Maturation has significantly slowed down. So you have a bogeris. So basically, she's of marriageable age. And Rachmanis, she's an aval. So, ain't a shaila navel asasma. Because right now, she is looking for a suitor. So she can go ahead and she can make herself up. Now, it happens to be the way I just described it. I'm kind of giving away the answer of the Gemara. So pretend I didn't say that. Let's assume right now that basically she can bathe. Okay. Hanara Rasha. Now, if you're a Nara, so that means that you're younger. So granted, by the way, you're over 12 years of age, which means that halachically you're an adult, but you're younger. So she's allowed to, quote unquote, let herself go during Avelos. So my la berchitza. Okay, so right now we're assuming we're talking about bathing. Now again, you already heard me say that we don't have to be talking about bathing, but right now, just obviously to work with the Gemara, we're assuming we're talking about bathing. Now, we can't be talking about hot water because, again, the Gemara assumes Rav Sheshis is absolutely the golden standard in terms of an aval cannot even stick their finger in hot water, meaning hot water is off limits for an aval. That's a non-starter. So, we're talking about cold water. So we're talking about cold water. And so what we're saying is that only when you're a bogeris of marriageable age, then and only then can you not let yourself go. Meaning you can bathe in cold water. Everyone else cannot bathe in cold water. That's what it sounds like in the Braisa. Again, working with our assumptions. And the Gemara does what the Gemara does, and that is just change an assumption. So lo akicho pirchus. So the Gemara says, no, the Braisa wasn't talking about bathing. The Braisa was talking about makeup. In other words, so when we're saying that the bogeris should not let herself go, it means that she should be wearing makeup during her avelos. Again, she's looking for a suitor. She's a little bit older. Okay, so that's what the brisa meant. So lema misayeya le. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the following now is going to be support for Rava. Again, Rava is positing that an aval is allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says maybe the following is going to be a proof. Dam Rabbi Abba Akon Mishum Rabbi Yose Akon Maiso Maiso Banav Shal Rabbi Yose Rabbi Chanina Virachatz Besonin Kol Shiva. So I know we heard this already, meaning this was on the Amud Aleph. So again, we hear it on the Amud Beis. So there's an incident where somebody was an Avel and he bathed in cold water. So Amri Hasam Kishatachvu Aveilav Zerchazeh. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about an exceptional circumstance where Rachmanus, he had multiple Avelos, consecutive. Detailing will enter the Braisa, Tachvu Aveilav Zerchazeh, Bitzaro, Mekal Bataro, Omechabis Ksusa Bemaim Amrev Chista Bataro Velo Bemisparaim. Okay. And Gemara just simply repeats that when you have consecutive avelos, so there are certain leniencies. You can get a haircut bishinui, you can wash your clothing, but only with water, when in fact you have consecutive aveloses. Okay, but under normal circumstances, you can't bathe in cold water. Okay, so in version number one of Rava, we just learned, so Rava made a statement that an aval is allowed to bathe in cold water. And right now, at the conclusion, where the Gemara ended up with that is, I don't know if he's right. Meaning, the Braisas aren't not necessarily supporting his position. Ika de Amre. Here we have now a second version of the statement of Rava. Amar Rava aval aser bitzonin kol shiva. An aval cannot bathe in cold water during his avelos, during the 7 days of his avelos. So maishna mi basav yayin. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, in the first version, so what was the argument? Well, if an aval is allowed to eat meat and wine, so then an aval is allowed to bathe in cold water. Meaning, right, there's certain pleasures that we're allowing an aval to have. So the Gemara says the counter argument would be the following. So, Maishlam bi basav yayin hasam le pakuche pachdei hu da avad. As far as meat and wine is concerned, so basically it's, I'm just giving a modern example, it's like Xanax, okay? In other words, when a person's an aval, so there's a lot of anxiety and stress, and totally understandably, and so therefore, if it's a stress reliever, so that you're allowed to do. So back in the day, so what's your best stress reliever? So eating. Nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years, right? Still a great stress reliever, and specifically meat and wine. Okay, good. So that's just to, right, that's the old-fashioned way of just reducing anxiety. And so for that, the Chachamim said, yeah, for sure. In other words, for anxiety reduction, 100%. But bathing, however, that's not an anxiety reducer. That's tanuk, that's pleasure. And no, not for hot water, not even for cold water. That's the way to distinguish between the allowance of an aval to eat meat and drink wine versus an aval cannot bathe, not even in cold water. Okay, so this statement of Rava happens to go in line now with where we started the daf today with Rav Chista. And now in the second version of Rava, so he's on board, an aval cannot bathe, period. Lema misayeya le. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is what we did earlier, and that is, now we're going to use the Braisa that we quoted earlier as a proof for Rava. So ena bagaris rashal an aval asma hanarasha. So again, an older girl versus a younger girl. I say the word girl, again, halachically she's an adult. So just I'll try to be as clear as possible. But anyway, but an older girl versus a younger girl. So for the older girl, while she's an avelos, don't let yourself go. For the younger girl, you're allowed to. It's now b'mayilim b'chamim ina b'gas v'shav v'amar achista avol asur la'ashor etzba b'chamim. We're not talking about hot water because Rav Sheshet says an avol cannot even stick their finger into hot water. So elalab b'tzonim, we're talking about cold water. So, and if we're talking about cold water, it means that the only allowance for someone to bathe in cold water is only an older girl who is looking for a suitor. So for that counter consideration, she can bathe in cold water. Everybody else cannot bathe in cold water. And now if we're right, this is a support for Rava. The Gemara says, yeah, but you don't have to be right. Maybe you're not right. We're talking about makeup over here. That's what we mean when we're talking about letting herself go. And bathing is not on the table at all, as well. At all. I'm Rav Chista Zosemeres Aval Aser B'tachboses Kol Shiva. And Rav Chista points out that an Avel cannot do laundry at all during 7 days. V'hil Chasa. And the Gemara now concludes Aval Aser L'Rechotz Kol Gufo B'Mechamim B'Metzonein Kol Shiva. Aval Panav Yadav Raglav. So as far as the bottom line halach is concerned, so the Gemara quotes that when it comes to an Avel, so cannot bathe during the 7 days of Avelus, not in cold water, not in hot water. As far as body parts are concerned, so becham and aser betzonim mutter. Hot water would be prohibited, cold water would be mutter. Aval lasuch afilu kol shu aser, to put any kind of ointment on. I don't really mean ointment. It's like oil. It's like basically it's a soothing oil that goes into the skin. That would be aser. That's a tanug. V'im laver zazuma mutter. However, if it's just basically I'm using a modern term, an antiperspirant, so that's fine. In other words, that would be fine for an oval to use. Okay, adkan. Okay, that is most of today's daf, which has now come to a conclusion. And really, one basic topic that we've covered, and that is that are you allowed to bathe, both as it relates to Avelus and as it relates to the Isra of Tanug, right? During our public fast days that we are describing over here and discussing. So the Tanit Sibor. So for the second round and onward, so there is an Isser of bathing, but that's a function of Tanug, because you're not allowed to have pleasure during these days. When it comes to Avelus, so that's a morning issue. So what? Where do we stand? So the Gemara has been, since the beginning of today's daf, litigating this very issue. Rav Chisda says that if it's a function of Avelus, no bathing whatsoever. Non-hot water, non-cold water. The Gemara says that's the accepted halacha. The Gemara, this is like a mid-daf review. Okay, three-quarters daf review. As far as Tanug is concerned, if the issue is just Tanug, so then bathing in hot water is prohibited. Bathing in cold water would be permitted. That was Rav Chista's comment. And for all of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, a litigation of whether he's right or whether his position is supportable, not supportable. Okay. And then second part is going to be Rava litigating the very same issue, but we have two versions of Rava. In version number one, an Avel is allowed to bathe in cold water. In version number two, Rava says that an Avel is not allowed to bathe in cold water, i.e. version number two is Rav Chista. And again, the Gemara relitigated and the Gemara concluded on this topic. The Gemara says an Avel is not allowed to bathe on hot and cold water. A body part, an Avel can bathe, but only in cold water, not in hot water. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. We'll do a little bit more for today. Tzlusa de Tanisa Hecha Madkarinan. Okay, so now there's going to be a tefillah for Tanit Sibor. Okay, you're in the Tanit Sibor, and now you're going to be adding a bracha to your Shmona Esrei. Where are you going to be adding that bracha into your Shmona Esrei? So, obviously, if the Gemara is entertaining the question, it means that at that point in time, it was not absolutely clear, cut and dry, where exactly to add it. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing where to add the extra bracha, right? The bracha is anenu. We will be learning later in the Masechta that on a public fast day, there actually are six additional brachas that are added to Shmona Esrei. That's coming up a little bit later in the Masechta. But right now we're talking about the individual and where he adds a bracha in Shmona Esrei, if in fact he does at all. So ad berei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yisrael berei v'darash. So Rav Yehuda was accompanying Rav Yitzchak his son, and they darshan the following yachad shekibal av tanis. So when an individual accepts upon himself a fast day, mispal shel tanis, so he davens. In other words, then he's going to be davening a tanis davening, meaning he's going to be adding a bracha. Veheichan om rab ben goel arofe, and where we're going to add the bracha is between the bracha of geula and the bracha of rifa'inu. right, between brachas number 7 and 8 on the, right, on the Shemoneh Esrei. So maskal of Rav Yitzchak v'chi yachi koveh bracha la'atzmo. So Rav Yitzchak says, wait 1 second. When does an individual add a bracha? A tefillah tzibor. So then a bracha can be added, but not an individual bracha. Now, I don't fully understand, just an admission on my part. I don't fully understand the nature of the question over here, meaning why can't an individual add a bracha? Meaning if it's a tannis and he accepted upon him a tannis and he's currently fasting. So what exactly is the hesitancy? So I don't really have the way to articulate it. The Gemara is just assuming it's a non-negotiable aspect of a private tefillah. You can't add a bracha. Okay. So El Amar Rav Yitzchak b'shomei tefillah. So V'chein Amar Rav Sheshet b'shomei tefillah. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're not going to be creating a new bracha for a Tanit Sibur. And by the way, I'm wrong about Tanit Sibur, meaning even for an individual Tanis, meaning as long as you're Merkabo, as long as you accept it upon yourself, and this is now a formal fast day, so you're going to be adding a bracha, but the Gemara says, you're not adding a bracha. You're just in Shomei Tefillah, you're inserting a paragraph that acknowledges that's a Tanis. Okay. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges, Ein Beyachal Lisei Barla Shezem Mispal Shmona Asrei, V'zem Mispal Cha Asrei. The difference between Yachid and Sibur is that for a Tanis Yachid, it's going to be 18 brachas. For a Tanis Sibur, it's going to be 19 brachas. Now, my Yachid, my Sibur. So the Gemara says, now, what do you think we mean when we're making a distinction between Yachid and Sibur? So, Ilem Yachid Mamash V'Sibur, Shlech Sibur, Hani Chasre Esrava Arbahavu. So the Gemara says, we don't mean the difference between an individual davening Shemoneh Esrei versus the Shlech Sibur. Because as far as the Shlech Sibur is concerned, on a public fast day, so it's going to be 24 brachas. We haven't learned this yet in the Masechta. It's coming up later in the Masechta. Right now, I would say, trust me. In other words, generally don't. Generally look everything up. But it's coming up later in the Masechta that on a public fast day, the Shlich Sibur is going to be making 24 brachas. So the Gemara says, so El Alav, Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so this is what is meant. So, Ben Yachid Dekaba Alav Tanis Yachid, Le Yachid Shekiba Alav Tanis Sibur, El Shazemis Bal Shmonesre, Vizemis Bal Chasre. So it must be not the difference between an individual versus Chazar Sashatz. It's the difference between the type of tannis you accept upon yourself. Meaning, and we already made this point a couple of days ago, there is a sug of tannis called tannis yachid, and there's a sug of tannis called tannis sibur. And maybe what the Bryce is now saying is that depending on which category of tannis you've taken upon yourself, so for a tannis yachid, 18 brachas Shmoneh Esrei. And I know it's a little bit confusing, by the way, because Shmoneh Esrei is 19, but there was a bracha that was added later on. Okay? If you understood that, great. If not, come back later, right? We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so, but right now, the difference between Yachid and Sibur is the category of Tanis that you took upon yourself. Now, if we're right, so what did we just learn together? That for a Tanis Sibur said by an individual, you add a bracha. So Shema Mina, Yachid Koveh, Bracha La'atzmo. That's what we just learned together. And remember, Rav Yitzchak, like he couldn't even stomach that idea. An individual is adding a bracha in their Shemoneh Esrei, can't be. And meanwhile, if we're right, so then we just learned together that an individual adds a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. So la'olam eim lecha shliach sibur. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about a shliach sibur. So u de kakash lach shliach sibur esrim v'arba matzle. So the Gemara says, now why didn't you like that pshat? Because you know that a shliach sibur is going to be davening a Shemoneh Esrei not of 19. But rather of 24. So the Gemara says, "Begimel Tanius Rishonus Delek Esrim Va'arba." So the Gemara says, "Now we're talking about the round one of the fast days. In round one of the fast days, so there the Shlich Sibur is not saying the full 24 brachas. The Shlich Sibur is only saying 19 brachas." V'lo v'ha'ein bein ketani. So the Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second. The Brisa says ein bein. So there is no difference, but so ein bein gimel Rishonus." Legimel Amtsayis Ela Shebe Eila Mutarim Be'Asiyas Malacha Over Eila Osrin Be'Asiyas Malacha. So, but meanwhile, the Gemara says, I know that there is a brisa that says that what's the difference between round one and round two? So, in round one, So you're allowed to do malacha. In round two, you're not allowed to do malacha. So that means that as far as the Shmon Esrei is concerned, for the Shliach Tzibur, it sounds like it's going to be 24 for both. And meanwhile, what you wanted to just argue is that for the round one, it's not 24, it's just 19. So the Gemara says, Tana v'shayir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I know we just learned the Braisa, and the Braisa says that this is the only difference between the two. But the Gemara says maybe there are other differences, and the Braisa didn't just simply articulate all the differences. Mashayir dehashayir. So the Gemara says, first of all, I don't like that argument. In order for the Braisa to leave things out, there has to be other things that are left out. That's one. And v'su v'ha ein bein ketani. And on top of that, the Braisa says, this is the only difference. Ela tani b'isurik amayi b'tfilos lomayri. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we could suggest is as follows, is that as far as the Braisa was concerned, the Braisa was only focusing on the Isser aspects of the fast day, not the davening aspects of the fast day. Or the Gemara says, alternatively, what you could say is that we assume that for the second round of Tanit Sibor, so you're not doing 24. So the Gemara says, "V'lo v'hatanya ein ben gimel shnios l'shev achronos el shebeilu matriim v'nol nesachanios." The Gemara says, "But wait one second. What's the difference between round two and round three?" So the Braisa says that the difference between round two and round three is, and the only difference is the closing of the stores. How lechol divrei zev v'zeshavin. But as far as everything else concerned, they're equal. V'chi tema, and maybe you'll suggest hachanami tan v'shar. And so the Gemara says, "Well, maybe also here as well." We're not going over all the differences. V'ha ein bein ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa says ein bein. V'tizbra ein bein dafka. V'ha shayach teva. So the, okay, I'll tell you what. The Gemara is going to go back and forth, and the Gemara is going to keep going. Well, let's just go a little bit further. So the Gemara says, well, there's also the difference of teva. Again, a point that we haven't learned yet in the Masechta, that on the third round of fast days, again, the intensification is going to have us taking the Aron out of the shul and bringing it right into the public. So, imishim teva lav shiruhu, mila desina ketani, mila defarhes yolo ketani. Because maybe the Braisa is talking about only those things that are done privately, not the things that are done publicly. Okay. So basically what the Gemara is arguing is that I know the Braisa says the word Zain Bain. Maybe these are not the only differences. Maybe there are, in fact, other differences. Again, all that became a little bit confusing. Basically, the point the Gemara is making is that to the question of where is the individual adding the tefillah of Aneinu? So the Gemara is suggesting that for the Shliach Tzibur, it's added between Gal Yisrael and Rifayinu, between brachas number 7 and 8 of Shmona Esrei. What about an individual? Rav Yitzchak says it's not going to be added into the individual. It's not going to be added as its own independent bracha. It'll be subsumed in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. That was the Gemara's point. And what the Gemara did for the last 20 lines is the Gemara wanted to counter-consider that maybe it is its own independent bracha. Maybe. But the Gemara basically went back and forth using a number of braises to position itself that can't possibly be. Okay, Adkan.